You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
I'm sure at some point News Corp had hoped to get the phone hacking scandal behind them and move on to something else. Unfortunately, this is a scandal that not only won't go away, but it continues to expand. There's been evidence of widespread criminality with journalists breaking into personal phones and computers, illegally bribing police and other officials for information to fuel scoops. And the scandal claimed its most prominent casualty yesterday when James Murdoch, heir apparent to the $60 billion media empire, stepped down as executive chairman. He was actually handed over CEO duties at News International last year and stepped down from that position as well. Questions still not going away. Here's a comment from British Labour leader Ed Miliband.
I certainly think it's right that James Murdoch has gone, but we've got to ask why this culture of corruption was able to develop at News International. And the reason was that News International thought it was too big to be challenged, including by politicians.
According to Rupert Murdoch, his son James is now in the New York headquarters working on, quote, essential corporate leadership mandates. Labour MP Tom Watson, who's been closely involved in uncovering this scandal, says it was pressure from News Corp's U.S. headquarters that forced James Murdoch to step down from News International.
I think the executives in New York will not allow themselves to be tainted by what went on in the United Kingdom, and they're going to cooperate as best they can with the police. And that even means, if it means James Murdoch having to leave the company, then so be it.
Joining us now, Lowell Bergman, investigative reporter and frontline correspondent, whose new documentary is called Murdoch Scandal, and he joins us from London. So, Lowell, as I said, News Corp took a number of steps to try to make this scandal go away. Does James Murdoch help them put it behind them?
Well, I don't think it's really that significant a move. He's been back in the United States for quite a while, and he hasn't been running News International, and he's never really expressed apparently that much interest in the newspaper business. His real interest is in Sky TV and in other broadcasting and other aspects of the News Corporation. I think people sort of accepted that that was going to happen in a formal way, a changing of who's going to run News International at some point soon.
But then why make this move? I mean, let's be honest. The phone hacking scandal hasn't been major headlines in the United States for a while. James Murdoch's, him moving out from his position, puts them back into the spotlight here on the other side of the pond from England. So why do it?
Well, I would say they were on the front page of the New York Times just the other day. I mean, the revelations that keep coming out of this Leveson inquiry, which is which has been ordered by the government, continues to show that the cover-up, as usual, is worse than the crime. And the cover-up that went on here, at least now, is documented from 2006 in terms of the extent of the hacking at very high levels of News International. And it's hard to believe that Les Hinton, who came to the United States and was Rupert Murdoch's right-hand man for so many years, was involved himself, because he's the one in 2007 who went public and said, this is when he was running operations here, that there was one rogue reporter. That line stayed in place until earlier this year.
We're speaking with Lowell Bergman, investigative reporter and frontline correspondent. His new documentary is called Murdoch Scandal. So, Lowell, maybe this is a good time to just kind of step back, look back over this entire thing, and maybe you can give us a refresher on all of the different charges with which News Corp or its employees are now having to answer for.
Well, the first charge, which is now taking center stage, is the charge of systematically bribing the police. Now, we're not talking here about systematically bribing the local police. We're talking about the Metropolitan Police, Scotland Yard, in some ways the equivalent of the criminal division of the FBI in the United States. And it's now been established by the Leveson inquiry, a testimony before that by the investigating, the woman who's in charge of the investigation inside Scotland Yard, that this was of a select group of people, some of whom got in excess of $100,000 U.S. In bribes from News International. The second area, and the area also that it's developing now, is the area of computer hacking, that is, breaking into people's computers. This has specifically been focused on a reporter at the Times of London, and not the Sun, not the tabloids, but from everything we hear, that this is going to expand, and this is something that went on, and it may cross international boundaries. And, of course, the thing that most of us have been following in the press for a long time has been this computer hacking, telephone hacking into voicemails and other overhearing. We're not sure exactly. No one has specified yet whether there's been any wiretapping going on, but there's been allusions to it. And that's the big scandal that broke around Millie Dowler, the teenager who disappeared and her murder, and then was murdered, and then the hacking into her personal voicemail that made this blow up last summer.
So, Lowell, that brings us back to James Murdoch and his stepping down from his position as executive chairman. Let me play you this comment from Brian Cathcart. He's the co-founder of the Hacked Off campaign, which is pressing pretty hard for what they think would be a completely thorough inquiry into phone hacking. Here's his comment.
If you look at the past few days and what we've heard of the shocking relationship between News International and the police, the fact that there's been a change at the top, which frankly we all expected, James has already been appointed to a top job in New York, doesn't really change that picture.
Which sounds like he agrees with you here. However, does it change the picture in terms of James Murdoch's guilt?
Well, he still has questions to answer here in Britain, and both with Parliament as to whether or not he told the truth to Parliament. You know, this is
it doesn't protect him.
Well, it doesn't protect him because he's already testified that he had what looks like willful blindness, didn't read the emails that laid out to him in 2008 exactly what was going on in terms of telephone hacking, where his executives were reporting to him that this was a nightmare, the worst possible scenario, and he claims he didn't read them or understand them, yet he has reply emails. There's also the fourth aspect of this is the destruction of evidence. There's now been declarations made in the Leveson inquiry that there's been massive destruction of emails and attempts to destroy it by the company itself once the story started coming out 2 years ago. And finally, the reason that this takes really, I think, really extra care to look at in terms of what's going on here is that we're talking about the involvement of every prime minister of Britain for the last quarter century in all of this. So you have the equivalent of the White House, a part of the FBI, and the largest press organization or media organization in the country, all together colluding, money changing hands, cover up, and all kinds of black arts in between.
Well, what do you think is really going on here? We have not only the charges that you've laid out, but also these bizarre twists, as in the Rebecca Brooks of News Corp had the loan of a police horse for a year or two. I mean, how are we to take this sort of odd relationship?
Well, that may be one of the few, I could say, humanitarian gestures that's been evident in this scandal so far. But I think that that is her taking care of a horse,
right?
Because her attitude towards a lot of the people involved that's been, and a lot of the people who've been victims of this, seemed less than caring. When you talk with the people themselves about the consequences of running up against Rebecca Brooks. But I think overall, think about this in terms of the United States. When the New York Times, and it was at a time when I was at the New York Times, when the New York Times was confronted with the reality that a reporter had fabricated stories, what did it do? It adopted the principle that to keep the trust of its audience, it had to bare its soul. It had to show people everything that went
right
on. The same thing with its Iraq coverage. Unfortunately, a company called the News Corporation has taken exactly the opposite stance from the beginning, covering up, continuing to do the same things, operating not in public view, and only coming forth with information once it's forced to.
We don't really, in the end, though, Lowell, I know that some heads are going to roll metaphorically over this entire scandal, and some already have, but in the end, we don't know whether they will ever be able to connect any of this with either James Murdoch or Rupert Murdoch.
Well, it'd be nice if they gave some unfettered interviews to the press to explain what went on.
You're not holding your breath waiting for that, are you, Lowell? Lowell?
I'm holding my breath.
Lowell Bergman, investigative reporter and frontline correspondent. His new documentary is called Murdoch's Scandal. That documentary is co-produced by our partner WGBH and will air at the end of the month. Lowell, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.